You are listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Today I wanted to talk about net neutrality, and if you're like me, you're probably thinking, what in the world is the big deal? There's a lot of information swirling out there, especially after the Federal Communications Commission recently repealed net neutrality. Well, what is net neutrality? What did it actually do? And what are the benefits of actually repealing it? To discuss this and to get information to you, I had a conversation with Roslyn Layton. Dr. Layton is a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where she focuses on evidence-based policy for information, communications, and digital technology industries. She has also served as a visiting researcher. She's currently a visiting researcher at Aalborg University Center for Communications, Media, and Information Technologies. She's also a vice president at Strand Consult, and both of those are located in Denmark. She served on the 2016-2017 Federal Communications Commission Presidential Transition Team, and she's also worked in Europe, India, and the United States. Obviously knows a lot more about this topic than I do. But before we get to that conversation, first a word from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And we are back, and without further ado, here's my conversation with Dr. Layton.
Hey, Roslyn, thanks for talking with me. Could you just, for the benefit of our listeners and for me, just explain what net neutrality actually is?
Right. Well, in a nutshell, it's internet regulation. Net neutrality is, and as an economist would describe, it's a price control that forces all consumers to pay for the entire cost of the internet, whether or not they visit the entire internet. It also means that the senders of internet content, over 70% of which are Hollywood and Silicon Valley, they don't pay for the cost, but all of us end users do.
Okay.
Now, why would that be of concern from, let's say, a Christian perspective? Well, we know that about 10 to 12% of internet content is adult material.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it can be quite offensive, can be violate religions. We also know that a lot of Hollywood content is, as we're learning more and more, is made under very dangerous work environments. We know about, as you described in your earlier podcast, this Me Too epidemic. So in many respects, we're being forced to provision the internet and networks for content for which we may have religious objection, personal objection, and so on. So we should contrast that with the idea of internet freedom, which is the internet freedom is about we as consumers decide what we want to buy, how we buy it, what kind of network we use, and the price that we want to pay. If a third party wants to subsidize the content and so it's free for us, that should be our choice to make.
Okay.
It should not be the government's choice to decide that the networks need to be neutral. On its face, that violates the First Amendment, because no law is supposed to be made to force speech or to block speech or to do anything of the sort. So that's why these rules are that the FCC adopted in 2015 are fundamentally illegal.
Okay. Well, we're hearing a lot of the sky's falling, you know, you just broke the internet type of rhetoric from people who support net neutrality. Why are they reacting this way?
Right. Well, it's important to know what actually happened on December 14th when the FCC made this vote. What they did was to undo rules that allow the FCC to regulate the internet. Now, for many people who are regulatory advocates or pro-government advocates, they have an objective that the internet should be regulated from Washington. It should be centrally planned. There should be one kind of network to every single American, and that all content has to be treated equally. There are those people who see that is their version of utopia.
Mm-hmm.
But what actually happened in the vote was that the FCC adopted a new plan, which actually increases transparency protections for people who want to buy internet access. So when you buy any kind of broadband plan, the internet service provider has to disclose how the connection is managed, what the pricing is, anything of that nature. Also, for innovators, certain information needs to be made available for them. So, largely what you've heard through the media is a lot of hysteria. This is because many regulatory advocates, they're funded by Silicon Valley firms who have been enjoying this kind of free subsidy, which we consumers pay for,
mm-hmm.
which supports the delivery of their content, whether or not we see it. Okay. So, yeah.
Because it's hard for, you know, to wrap my mind around why, you know, Google, for instance, would be so in favor of net neutrality.
Because they have enjoyed it in the sense that so much of the internet's content is YouTube, you know, it's video, which is a relatively takes up a lot of bandwidth.
Right.
And Google certainly doesn't want to pay for the cost to send that data to us. They just want to make an advertising fee off of it. So for example, let's say your mobile subscription under net neutrality, you're paying for the ads that eat up your data. The mobile ads will be playing on your mobile subscription. You know, the Google doesn't want that to change, because then they'd have to charge their advertisers, or they would lose money they make today.
Right.
But, you know, we, the consumers, are bearing that cost. In no other network do we pay for the advertising. You know, the advertiser always is supposed to take on that cost in exchange for an opportunity to market to us, you know, whether or not we want to see that ad. But in any case, this is really something that's extremely pro-consumer. And two other important things that your audience should know. I mean, up until 2015, we had no rules. And, you know, the internet was a great success. So it's not like, you know, there was some regulatory paradise that we've left. I mean, we started out in a free market for the internet, and it worked quite well. The second part is that under the previous framework, the Federal Trade Commission, state attorneys general, and the Department of Justice, they have always had the capability to go after a bad actor. And the funny thing with the 2015 rules, it removed their jurisdiction. It removed the capability of all those agencies to police bad actors.
Hmm.
Now that we have had that reversed, those cops are back on the beat, as well as the FCC with the transparency rules. So, ironically, we have more law enforcement to help us today if we need it than we did in 2015.
Right. One of the things I've heard from, net neutrality advocates would be, for instance, somebody said to me, "Hey Shane, this net neutrality would prevent, say, different ISPs from throttling your content." Is that a potential concern that certain types of content could be throttled because they disagree? A particular ISP disagrees with that speech.
So that fear is always thrown out there to scare people. And the interesting thing is that prior to 2015, there were not rules on the books, and that was not a regular occurrence. And we have increasing internet traffic. So Americans today enjoy more data per capita than any country in the world. So if there was some systematic blocking or throttling of content, it is impossible to reconcile with the fact that we just consume more data all the time.
Right.
So that thing that people are talking about doesn't happen. But the second thing I think is actually quite real. There is censorship and blocking of content by the so-called, what the FCC called edge providers, the Silicon Valley companies, the Twitters, Facebooks, mm-hmm. and so on. They have actually done it, and there's a new effort being launched.
Yeah, Twitter just started their purge. Yeah.
Right. So there's a new effort now being launched by the National Association of Religious Broadcasters to actually document and bring transparency to these efforts by the so-called Silicon Valley companies who were the ones that said, "We wanted these rules because we need to be protected." But there was nothing to protect, let's say, Christian views from being blocked by them, by these so-called Silicon Valley companies. Now, I'm not advocating for Silicon Valley to be regulated. I think that brings a whole set of problems with it.
Right.
But at least we can bring transparency to the hypocrisy. It's ludicrous that the largest corporations in the world, the Apples and Googles and so on, somehow need to be protected by the American government because their revenues are larger than most countries. So this notion somehow that your local ISP in Iowa is going to somehow tell, Google, "We're blocking Google." It's just highly unlikely.
Right. So how does lifting the net neutrality rules help some of those rural ISPs?
Right. Well, that's a really great question. And in the past 2 years, while these rules were in place, the groups that were hurt the most were small ISPs. We have over 4,000 of them in the United States, wireless providers, DSL providers, cable, some offer fiber to the home. They have seen their investments decline. They have either delayed or canceled plans to deploy new networks. A number of them have had to lay off workers because they, sadly, many of them couldn't get loans from the bank, local banks, because the bank said, "Sorry, you're regulated now by the FCC. The FCC can change the definition of a broadband speed. It can impose a price control on your service. It can add taxes to your service. So your business case is now unpredictable, and we don't want to put our money there." So the saddest part about this is that if you want to have competition, you have to allow for startups and, new kinds of technologies and networks. They have to actually be deployed. They have to be tried.
Right.
And these rules were preventing the very thing that they promised that they would protect.
Hmm. Okay. So,
but listen, this is not unusual for any kind of FCC regulation. The whole history of FCC regulation has been about preventing technologies and protecting incumbents. So it is consistent over the years. There's always been, let's say, when cable TV was invented in the 40s, but the FCC delayed its deployment till the 70s. We could have much more spectrum being deployed. The FCC has, kept a bottleneck there. So in terms of if the problem is we need more networks, it's no surprise to me that, the FCC has slowed it. I mean, as much as I want to support, I do support what this current FCC has done. I mean, they've made it their priority to close the digital divide. And you may have seen Chairman Ajit Pai in Iowa even. He's come out and has done a road trip to come out and listen to folks.
Yeah.
What are your challenges? And people want faster and cheaper and better broadband. Well, if it's all going to be the same and priced the same, you're not going to get that. You have to allow emergence of competition, different pricing, different technologies, if you want to close the digital divide.
Right. Well, and these startups are going to need, they're trying to lay down infrastructure. That's costly. They have to be able to recoup that somehow. So, yeah. So that's good to know. Any other benefits to lifting net neutrality that maybe we haven't discussed?
Well, first of all, what I would hope to see is that consumers will enjoy lower price offers and an expansion of offers. One of the things that, net neutrality, since it came on the scene as a talking point, almost 20 years ago, is that anything that a ISP did to differentiate itself, let's say they wanted to offer something for free, they were accused of being not neutral. And ordinary consumers like things for free. I mean, that's part of why T-Mobile's service has become very popular.
Yeah.
The fear always from net neutrality people was, oh, it'll be more expensive. Well, when you allow competition in the marketplace, prices go down. So that's one benefit. The other thing is we want to see new offerings. So for example, in 2018, Verizon is going to deploy 5G to compete head to head with cable. So this is a technology where you'd have a box in your home that would give you a high speed, high capacity internet experience that is, as fast as a fiber to the home connection, but it's coming through the air. And that is attempting to compete directly with wires in the ground by competing through the air. And all the regulatory advocates said, no, it's not possible, whatever. It is possible and it's happening now. So new technologies are coming to market that want to disrupt old ones or established ones. And that is exactly what permissionless innovation is about. That is what the free market is about. And that's why we should support internet freedom.
Well, Roslyn, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. This is very helpful. It gives me a better idea of what was actually done. And hopefully our listeners will have a better grasp of this as well. And it's good to know the sky is not falling.
Last time I checked, I was able to get on my internet this morning and it was working pretty good. So.
Right. Yeah. Me too. Actually, right. Talking to you through the internet, through my phone.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that concludes this episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening somewhere other than on our website, please go to caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com. Or Google Caffeinated Thoughts, and it'll show up right at the top of the search page. Make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for our emails. We'd love to stay in touch with you. Hey, have a Merry Christmas. We won't have another podcast until after Christmas. So hope you have a great holiday with your family and friends and loved ones. Until next time, my friends, take care.